I find myself at a bit of a crossroads at the moment. So I'm going to share some stuff that I observed, and then we'll see if the Lord takes me, which path he takes me down. I do have notes in front of me, but I am not sure that those notes are the thing. So we'll see. We'll see. One thing that I wanted to say is that it is in the foolish things of the world that the Lord displays wisdom. It is in the weak things of the world that he displays his strength. What verse is that? Does anyone know? The verse reference isn't coming to my brain right now, and I can Google it, but we'll see if any of y'all know it off the top of your head. Do we know? Do, 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 do. Is my Google faster than your mind? It is. 1 Corinthians 1:27. Boom, my Google foo is mighty. It would have come to me in my mind in a moment, but I forgot it that quick. One. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. My husband just texted me the verse, right? So he's... It just popped right up on the screen, right? Like, he's like, here it is. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Okay. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And I just wanted to call that out, because sometimes we are too full of ourselves. Okay? Lots of times we are too full of ourselves, or maybe that's just me. Okay? But too often, something comes into our mind, something drops into our spirit. That's from the Lord, but it seems a little dumb. Seems a little foolish, it seems a little weak, and we're like, why would that matter? Why would that change anything? And so sometimes we do it grudgingly, right? Sometimes we do it wholeheartedly. Frequently we don't do it at all. And then we wonder why things don't change. And we wonder why we don't walk in power. And it's because we've let our pride block us from victory. A demonstration of that today is, you all know we have protocol about the front. We have protocol for it, for prophecy, for sharing words, for dancing up here, okay? Because this is in front of everybody. This is on display. So there's an element of when you are up here that it is for corporate consumption, okay? And so we all know that. We say it. We talk about it regularly, right? And so today we had Sam, and he's off on the side, discreet, over in the corner with the flags, a place that he is allowed to be. And as he is moving these flags through the air, swinging the flag through the air, I could feel the atmosphere shifting. I could feel the spirit moving. I could feel power in what he is doing. Okay? And so I motioned him out. I was like, hey, come on. Come on out here. Come on out here. Right? Okay? And so he was just swinging, is the best word. Swinging it around. Okay? And so there's an element where I could have gotten precious about this space. I could have gone, oh, well, I haven't had the chance to teach him anything. I haven't had the chance to show him anything. I. Right? But it's like, oh God, you're doing something. God, you're doing something. Let me let that take center stage. Let me move out of the way and you be on display, God. And I really believe that things were shifting when he was doing what he was doing. That things were shifting, okay? And so some of you guys were in the middle of worship service and you feel the Lord like tell you move. And you're like, I don't know, I'm moving. Right? And he's not even telling you to go leaping around the sanctuary. He's like, can I get a little two-step? Can I get a little hands in the air? Can I get a little make your motion big? Can I get a little, hey, step away from your neighbor so you got some space. Get in the aisle so you got a little space, right? Frequently, he's not even telling us to do something extravagant or embarrassing. He's just like, let's get a little bit out of your comfort zone. And we're like, how about no? But there's power in that. There's power in those foolish things. There's power in those weak things. There's power in that, oh, I feel like clapping, right? And you're just like, thing down. Oh, there's my Fitbit. And then you want to stop because, like, no one else is clapping. No one else picked it up, right? And so you're like, oh, maybe I should stop. You're right, but you feel it. You feel that something's happening. You feel something breaking. And so it's like, sorry, I got a little light because I could feel, I could feel a little oomph in there, right? Okay, and it's like, who cares? Who cares if you're the only one clapping? Who cares? Who cares if you're the only one bouncing? Okay? What does it matter if that's the path to freedom? What does it matter if that's the path to victory? And it's not like you're even doing something outside the Bible, okay? He's like, hey, march around in complete silence. Do it again. Do it every day. It's like, we've got a whole army. Aren't we going to fight? And he's like, no. You guys seen that VeggieTales? Keep walking, but it isn't. And they're like taunting them from the top of the walls. Sometimes I think about what that looked like in real life. Right, like how baffling must it have been for these dudes to be like on the wall, like, what are they doing? And they just lapped the wall and then they left. And then they did it again. Right, and then God's like, okay, this time we're doing it 7 times. And on the 7th time, you're shouting. It's like, okay. Your little clap when everybody's not clapping, dance a little, shout a little. Right? God has a history of calling people to the ridiculous so that he can be shown strong. And so I'm not saying just pick like the weirdest thing you could do. Like some people do that. Some people are like, oh, God wants me to be weird. Here we go. Right? And that's just as dumb. Let me just say that, right? Like, he's not, do what he calls you to do, okay? No matter what that, do what he calls you to do. What he calls you to do. And get out of your own way. Get out of your own way. Oh, you've got a verse that you're repeating over and over again? Repeat the verse. You've got a little snippet of a song that you're singing? Sing the little snippet. You've got a dance? You feel a shout? Do it. Do it. Get really familiar with what it feels like when God is calling you to do something. Get really familiar with that so that you don't hesitate. Like, I know what it feels like when God's calling me to do something. Like, I'm saying feel in a very deliberate sense. I know what sensations in my body happen. Okay, I'm not saying I get those sensations every time, but I know. Okay, I know what it feels like. I know when something drops into my spirit and it's not me making something up, when I know it's the Lord, right? I know what it feels like when I'm like, oh, I do something and then I'm like, oh, hold on, right? You've got Elizabeth who, when she met Mary, she felt the baby leap, right? And so sometimes you do something and you feel your spirit leap a little. And then I'm like, so for me, I always test it. I do a little something and I feel it and I go, was that just a one-off? So I'll do it again, right? And then I'll do it again, right? Because if God is releasing power to me, if he's releasing his love to me, why would I stop that before he stops? Why would I stop before he stops? Right? So I had every intention of just clapping a couple more times, right? And then I'm like, oh, hold on. let's just test this out. Let's just see where this goes. Right? Because I want everything God gives me. There's that story about the king, right? Is it Hezekiah? And he tells him to smack the arrows on the ground. And he hits them just a few times. And then the prophet is like, why didn't you keep going? Why did you stop? You did this, so you're only going to get this small manifestation. If you had kept going, you would have conquered and overcome fully. And I just hear the Lord telling us that we stop too soon. That too often we are stopping too soon. And so you get to talk to the Lord about how that shows up in your life and if that's for you. Okay, that is not for me to go, oh, I'm not going to step beyond that. I'm going to say, we are stopping too often. We are stopping too soon. And so what does that mean in your life? Where are you not taking the step that the Lord told you to step? Where are you shrinking back where the Lord's told you to go forward boldly? Where are you not clapping 5 more times and the victory was right there? Where are you strangling the shout in your throat? And the Lord's like, just let it go, let it go, let it go. And you're like, what will they think of me? What will they think of me? Where are you fighting back the tears or the groans? Because you're scared of looking foolish. Where are you stopping when the Lord said go? This is a safe place, Lisa says, as she watches me decide what I'm going to say next. Which is always a good thing. When one of my kids was young, they were a toddler. We were at a service at a church that we used to go to. And it was after an extended fast. And so we were having what they would call a go for God service. Right? And so it would be very similar to what like a prayer, praise, and worship service would be for us, just under a different name. It was to celebrate the ending of this fast. Okay? And it had been a corporate fast, and it had been a fairly challenging corporate fast that had been called. And I remember at the end of the service, or during the service, they were doing shouting music, right? It's most common in the black church, right? The okay, I can't do it, so I'm not even going to try to do it. Okay, right? And so a lot of times, and so sometimes people get up in arms about it, right? Because they're like, oh, they're just trying to hype people. They're just trying to fake. They're just trying to whatever. And sure, some people do that. Some people do all sorts of things, okay? Lots of musicians know what key to put the music in, what chords to play to make the people cry, right? Like, but just because they know how to do it doesn't mean that when the people cry, they're being manipulated, right? Like, just because people can doesn't mean that every time that's what's happening, okay? So yes, shout music can be used to hype people up to get, like, it going, right? But that doesn't mean that it didn't spring from a true and accurate response to the Lord. So remember, a lot of people were dancing. And I remember my kid looking at the people, right? They're looking at their feet, right? And so they're like, you know, they're doing the light feet, okay? I'm going to say she because I have more girls than boys, right? And so Than, like, this was before Than, so now you don't have to try to keep avoiding the pronoun. So she looks at their feet, and she looks back at me. She looks at the person's feet again because people are getting real light. And she goes. And then she looks back at me, and she goes. And she starts going down the aisle, right? And I'm like, what do I do? Like, right? So everybody's there, and here's my two-year-old in the middle of it. Because she had seen something that she was like, oh, hey, something's happening with that. Can I get some of that? So then she did a little and was like, oh, I can get some of that. Let me get a little bit more. And some of you guys need to go, can I get some of that? Can I get a little bit more? And see what the Lord is willing to give you and what the Lord is willing to do. Even when it's outside of your normal expression. Even when it's outside your normal expression. Because the question is, are you going to agree with the Lord or not? We were singing, who will believe the report of the Lord, right? Are you going to agree with the Lord or are you not? Or does your agreement only extend to that which makes you comfortable? Do you only agree when it makes sense? Do you only agree when it's something that you're comfortable with, that's in your comfort zone? Do you only agree if God tells you, or if you don't feel like you have to get real loud? Do you only agree if it doesn't look too ridiculous? Do you only agree when the whole room is loud anyway, so if you sing out, it's not going to be a big deal? Or is your conviction such that where he goes, I'll go? And what he says, I'll say. And where he moves, I'll move. Or is it limited? Is there a box you want to stay inside? And I think for a lot of us, there's a box. And some of us are patting ourselves on the back right now because our box is bigger than our neighbor's. You have more that you're willing to do, so you think this doesn't apply to you. No matter how big the box is, it's still a box. Okay? No matter how big the box is, it's still a box. Don't be self-righteous and compare yourself with the person next to you and go, well, you know, Will told us to shout and I shouted and they didn't, so I'm good. Knowing full well that the Lord told you to shout and jump. But you think that because you did what they said to do, you're good. And because you're louder than your neighbor, everything's all right. It's not okay. It's not okay. Disobedience is disobedience. Even if no one knows but you and Jesus. Especially when no one knows but you and Jesus. One of the things we used to say a lot in our house growing up was slow obedience is still disobedience. And God loves us. And I fully believe that he continues to invite us and that his kindness leads us to repentance, right? So this isn't a shame point, right? If you know there's something the Lord's calling you to do, don't be like, oh, well, because I haven't done it, I guess the moment's just passed. Sometimes the moment does pass us. Lots of times the Lord is faithful to bring it around again. Lots of times he's faithful to bring it around again. But let's not miss it the second time around. Are we good? We all right? Is this bearing resonance with some of y'all? Ooh, silence. I'm going to assume yes, even though I just got a bunch of like widened eyes and horrified stares when I asked that question. That's all right, though. That's all right. I love y'all anyway. Okay. All right. This is the God, are we really doing this, Lord, face, right? All right. So anyways, okay. So some of you guys know that there has been a song that has just been like resonating in me. Al's already laughing for like a month and a half. Okay. Let's see. Deacons, ministers, ministry admins know this. Al knows this. If you were here before soundcheck, you might have heard me. All right. So it's this old song. All right. You're going to have to give me grace. All right. Oh, no, wait, is he coming? Are you coming for me, Bob? All right, so I got to start before he starts because I don't know if I'd be in the right key. So he can find me, but I don't know if I can find him. Okay? All right. So it's this song, and it's called Me and the Devil Had a Tussle. Do any of you know this song? Zoe knows this song because I've been singing it in the house for the last week, right? So it's this old, does anyone know this? Jesse DeFlandis sings it. It's like, Bob, see, you started before me. Me and the devil, we had a tussle, but I won. Right? Do you know this song? All right, Val, settle down. Me and the devil, we had a tussle, but I won. Me and the devil, we can't agree. I hate the devil, and he hates me. Me and the devil, we had a tussle, but I won. He's trying to find me. All right, so it's this song, and it's mattered to me, right? Like, this has mattered to me because it's this point of like, we fight, but where does it land? We win. And why are we fighting? Because the devil hates us. He hates us. And the question is, do you hate him? Okay? Because we can't agree. You cannot agree with what he says. You can't give him any ground in your life. You can't give him anything. You can't give him any ground in your life. Will you believe the report of the Lord? Will you believe the report of the Lord? Or when it doesn't look like it's coming up yet, Do you let it go? Do you let it go? And I'm not talking about anxiety stirring up. I'm not talking about worry stirring up. I'm not even talking about fear stirring up. I'm talking about what do you do when those things happen? Okay? Because you haven't agreed with the devil because he attacked you with worry, or he attacked you with anxiety, or he attacked you with fear. Let me be clear. Those are attacks. Okay? Those are attacks. It's what did you do after? What did you do after? I'm on the deliverance ministry, right? And Al will talk, when I'm in the room with him, he'll talk about judging thoughts under the blood. Put them under the blood of cross. You don't have to figure it out. Put it in the blood and see what happens. Put it in the blood and see what happens. The other night I was talking in my sleep, right? I wasn't actually asleep. I was like, I was in that weird spot, right? Where you know, like, it wasn't until, like, Than was in the room with me, and it wasn't until he questioned something that I said that I realized I was actually talking, right? Like, it wasn't until that moment. And in my sleep, I was upset about something. And I was like, I'm so sad. And Than was like, why are you sad, mommy? And I was like, and I realized then there was an attack. There was a swirl that was coming up that when my guard was down, Satan was trying to get me to agree with his attack. He was trying to get me to agree with what he was saying and what he was doing. And it took my son questioning what I said for me to snap to myself. And I was like, oh, wait, Jesus, you know, and let it swirl, let it settle, let it just calm. Too many times when we're in turmoil, disconnected, asleep, whether literally or spiritually, Satan throws that dart. And he's not inside of us, right? So he's seeing what happens next. He throws it, and then he goes, did it land? Did it land? He doesn't know whether it landed until you're on fire. Okay, and if it landed, then he'll do it again. All right, let me try that one. I had someone I was in counseling go, hey, so this happened. That has never happened to me before. I've never thought that way before. And I went, that's a fiery dart. That's from the enemy. Don't dwell on that. Don't ask yourself why. He was throwing it because that works for a lot of people in your situation. A lot of people in your situation stumble like that. So he threw it to see if it was going to work on you. I was like, don't make it more than it is. It was a fiery dart. Quench it, keep moving. Quench it and keep moving. I said, and don't be surprised, it's going to happen again. Because Satan's not sure yet if it's going to work. He's not sure yet if it's going to work. So he's going to throw it again and see, is it going to light them up this time? Is it going to light them up this time? And some of you guys, Satan attacks you. And you dwell on it so much that you're accidentally fanning that flame. You're accidentally fanning that flame. Now, I'm not... For sure, check your doors. For sure, check. Check to make sure the gates are up. Check to make sure the walls are in place. Check. Okay? But if you go, hey, Lord, was that me? And he goes, no, you're good. Quench it and keep moving. Okay? So don't use that as an excuse to give license in place to sin and leave the door wide open and all the windows unlocked and everything open and wide open. And then you're like, oh, Satan's in the house. How did he get here? Right? Like, okay, lock your doors. Kick him out. Okay? But then when he's on the outside and he's banging trying to get in, don't go, I wonder why he's banging on the door. Looking out the peephole, ooh, it's him again. Why is he there? Why is he there? Because he hates you. That's why he's there. Because he hates you. Because he hates you. When I was a kid, I used to think people who talked about like demons and spirits were real weird. Yeah, used to think it was real weird. And now I realize I am one of those people. And so I'm reevaluating a lot of stuff from my childhood where I'm like, oh, that was probably legit. So it's okay if some of you are like, wow, Val's kind of... Satan hates you. And it's important to know that. And God is stronger. And it's more important to know that. It's more important to know that. But do not be ignorant of the fact that Satan is a lion prowling around looking for whom he can devour. Ron and I have come to a kind of stark realization in our life that happened a year and a half ago. Some of you guys have heard me talk about this before because we're fairly open about it. So rest has been a journey for us. Taking a Sabbath, having a day off, having periods of rest has been a journey for us. Okay, and so when we started getting good at it, okay, so we stopped getting distracted, we stopped putting it off, when we started getting good at having this marker and this time before the Lord, Satan shifted his strategy as he so often does. And so what started to happen was that our Sabbath starts on Tuesdays at 5 p.m., okay? We go from Tuesday at 5 to Wednesday at 5. So what started happening was that at 4:15 p.m., someone would text us or call us in crisis. Real crisis. Real, like, not made up stuff. Real deal crisis. And so it would throw us into a swirl. It would throw us into a tizzy. Right? Even if we redirected them to someone else, we'd be like, oh man. And so we'd go into our Sabbath consumed with someone else's turmoil or problems, or still trying to text them and help them sort it out, or call them and help them sort it out, or like, oh man, should I go over there and meet with them? Maybe I should go run over there. Maybe I should. Maybe. Okay? And this kept going for a little bit of time. And then I'm a pattern person. Okay, I'm a patterns person. That's what I do. Okay? And I started to notice, wait. Every time someone's in crisis, like, I haven't been talking to them the whole rest of the week. It's never someone who I'm already working with having a flare up right then. It's always someone out of the blue texting me. Like someone when we're in community with, but someone who's out of the blue texting me. Like, huh. So I noted that. And then a little bit later, I noted, wait, each of these problems aren't things that just happened. This crisis happened on Sunday. And now suddenly it's unbearable to them. Unbearable? Tuesday at 4:15? Crisis happened days before. I'm available to them, and now it's unbearable. Now they absolutely, positively need my intervention. Less than an hour before my Sabbath starts. People who know it's my Sabbath too. Huh. That's interesting. And so I came suddenly to the conclusion that these were inspired by the devil. I'm not saying that the person was possessed or anything, but that Satan had stirred it up. That he had very deliberately stirred it up right before my Sabbath. Stirred up things that I am legitimately very concerned about. Stirred up things for people that I legitimately cared about. They were things that had happened. Some of them were that people's own sins. Some of them were people getting sinned against. But the timing of when they were so consumed with agony that they had to reach out to me was stirred up by Satan. And so one day we're in the kitchen, and it's somewhere between 4 and 4:30, and I've come to this conclusion, and Ron's phone buzzes. And I go, hey, let me tell you something God showed me. And so I tell him, and he goes, really? You think so? And I'm like, just watch. So he goes back through several weeks of text messages. He pays attention the next couple weeks, and he goes, wait, you're right. I said, yeah. Satan is destroying our rest. Satan is trying to maneuver us to dishonor God. And so it was easy. It was hard to let go of for a moment because it's easy to get into this place of, oh, wait, but we need to help. But we have to do this. But we have to do that. But we have... We have a team for a reason, right? We all take our Sabbath on different days for the most part. I mean, like married couples and like relatives, but we're spread out. There's always someone available. There's always someone who can support. Doesn't have to be me. Doesn't have to be Ron. Doesn't have to be at 4:15 on Tuesday. For sure. Right? I don't have to dwell on it for those 24 hours and let it swirl around in my brain. That's all because Satan hates me. Because he hates the idea of me honoring God. Because he's willing to push himself in any way to attack me. And so I'm just going to kind of put out there, where in your life has Satan inserted himself so that you don't follow through on the commitment you've made to God? Because he didn't start stirring that mess up until Ron and I were like, we're doing this for real. We're doing this for real. We're not, no more of this. Let's shift it by a little bit. Let's shift it out a little bit. Because let me tell you, when you have people who care about you in your life and are like really committed to you following through on your commitments to God, and every elders meeting, they're asking you how your Sabbath is going or when you're going to take a vacation and how's rest. Okay. It gets old trying to make excuses for why you're not doing what God told you to do. If you don't have people who are in your business like that, you should get in community. It's really helpful. Okay. But Satan didn't start doing that strategy until we decided, hey, we're going to take the Sabbath thing seriously. Hey, we're going to take this rest day seriously. And then all of a sudden he was like, oh, let me get in between them and their commitment. So where have you committed to God? And now suddenly and surprisingly, there's so much interference. Where have you made a commitment? And suddenly things got so hard. What did you decide to do with your money? And now suddenly that money's gone. Or what you decided to do with your time. And suddenly there's a new project at work. Or you committed to give God your first half hour in the morning. And now suddenly your kids are like in sleep regression. Or suddenly they're waking up at the same time. That happened to me a lot. As a mom with younger kids, is that I would go, okay, Lord, I'm going to wake up at this time because the house is still. I'm going to wake up at this time so I can get this commitment, so I can spend this uninterrupted time with you. And then suddenly, my kids wanted to wake up at 5:30 in the morning too. No alarm, no noise. They just decided to be awake. Right? Has any of you ever had that where you make a commitment, you make a time thing and you're like, this is the perfect moment in my schedule to do this. Nothing ever interrupts me at this time. And then suddenly things are interrupting you at that time. Right? I'm seeing lots of nods around the room. Okay? It's Satan. Because he hates you. And he hates your commitments to God. And it can be weird that I keep hammering home on that point. But I think when you realize that there is actually an enemy of your soul, an enemy of your spirit, it doesn't make you paranoid like, oh no, he's here, right? But you stop thinking things are just coincidences. And so then it lets you push through, right? Because when I realized, hey, my kids never wake up at this time, isn't it such a surprise that suddenly they want to be up at 5:30 in the morning with me? It's like, oh, that interference is demonically inspired. My kids aren't demonized. Okay, but Satan is fully capable of disrupting their sleep, waking them up. And then I love my kids. So it doesn't feel great to not tend to them. And so then because the strategy works, he does it again. And he does it again. And he does it again. And suddenly I'm not doing the thing that God called me to do. The thing that was going to bring freedom. The thing that was there for my life. Right? And so if I don't recognize that there's an enemy in my soul, if I don't recognize that, then it's easy to get angry with my children. It's easy to get mad at myself. It's easy to just give up. And go, oh, I guess I must have misjudged that. I guess my schedule is different. When I do realize it, okay, then I'm one of those moms with the oil at the night, right? I don't do it as often right now, but there was a period when we'd be anointing it up. My kids each have like a different song that we sing, and then I'd be praying for them, and I'd be like, breathe and keep breathing in Jesus' name and sleep in the power of God. Right? Like, cast out anything and rebuke everything that would disrupt a peaceful night's sleep. And then what do you think happened? They slept. Because it wasn't actually about wearing them out during the day. It wasn't actually about me trying to be super quiet when I woke up in the morning. It was recognizing that the disruption was from the enemy. All right? And it was asking the Lord, going, okay, God, so if they do wake up, I've still made this commitment to you. What does that mean? Means that they get up on the chair with me underneath the blanket and I say, shh, mommy's talking to Jesus right now. That's an easy example. There's always a crisis at 4:15, at 4:45. It means my Sabbath day protocol starts earlier. My phone, I learned how to do this recently and I'm really pleased with it. No, I keep it on because there are people I like to talk to on my Sabbath day. Like, I'm not a hermit, right? But I figured out how to... I put people in what I call the box, okay? And so I learned on my phone that using the Do Not Disturb thing on my iPhone, I can set up a message filter. And anybody I put in that, their messages just disappear off my phone. Like, I don't even see them. Like, normally when I have Do Not Disturb, I still see the messages come through. That just doesn't do the notifications. But the little badge keeps climbing in number, and that bothers me. Right? So then I check the messages to clear it. But now I can just... My phone looks blank. Except for, like, Ron and my mom. My kids. And so now that starts. And I don't have to turn it on. Just suddenly... I'll go into my messages to like check something, to check some information, and they're all gone, right? Because I've made a commitment to the Lord. because I've made a commitment to the Lord. And I don't have to feel like I'm leaving y'all unattended. Because you have Lisa's number. You have Alan Casey's house line. You have Tina's number. Right? We're good. The elders aren't blocked. If there really is something I needed to know, I'll get the information. But I had to stop letting Satan yank me around like I was on a leash. I had to let him stop yanking me around. And so what areas of your life, this is a for real question for you. What areas of your life have you made a commitment to the Lord that suddenly is disrupted? That you feel unable to follow through on because of external circumstances? Because that's really what happens. You make a commitment to the Lord, and then suddenly you're unable to follow through on what you said because of external circumstances. And normally it's not a one-off commitment to the Lord. It's something that you've decided is going to be a part of your life. And then suddenly, there's interference. Suddenly, surprisingly, oh no, right? It's not sudden. It's not a surprise. It's because the devil is real. And he hates you. I feel like I'm saying that a lot. But it's true and it's important. But it's nothing that you have to shrink back on. Because you and the devil are going to tussle. But what's going to happen? We win. And we only win because we agree with God and we refuse to agree with him. You have to draw a line in the sand and say that there is no area where you are going to agree with Satan. That there is no area where you are going to agree with Satan. A really practical way that this played out in my life was last December. I'm just going to end on this. Last December, right after Christmas, I started having sharp pains in what I thought was my ovaries, right? I've had an ovarian cyst before, which was probably the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life when it burst. And it felt like it was in the same region. And it was bad. And so I went to my doctor. She was like, yeah, I think you're probably right. Scheduled me for an ultrasound. We did the ultrasound. She was like, there's nothing there. Maybe it's a hernia on something in my intestines. I don't even remember where. Just she was like, okay, this could be the same area. So maybe it's this. And I was like, okay. And the thing was, is from the outside, pressing into my abdomen, you could feel that something was there that wasn't supposed to be there. So I'm in excruciating pain. You know, they rate pain on a scale of 1 to 10. And 10 is like, you're passing out because of that, right? And I've been there before. And I'm at a good day, I'm at a 7. Bad days, I'm in my bed at a 9, just like moaning uncontrollably. And they're like, we feel it. We like, obviously something's wrong. Obvious, something's wrong. You feel it. We feel something from the outside. And so I'm doing the due diligence. I go to my doctor. She does the ultrasound. She sends me to my regular doctor. You know, it normally takes a little bit to get in. So this is very concerning when they make me an appointment for 3 days later, which is fine. And then call me back and are like, hey, so are you free in an hour? We mentioned to the doctor and they want you to come now, right? And then I'm getting another something the next day, and then I'm getting like a CAT scan, like all the things, right? And everybody's, they're just ruling things out one after another, after another, after another. And they're like, okay, well, let's get you in to see a surgeon. We might have to go in, right? And so I'm hurting. And so I talk with a friend, and she's not a Christian, which is the crazy part, right? I'm just mentioning to her what's going on. We're talking about something else. And she's like, huh, this is really interesting that you thought it was like in your reproductive organs and that it's centered in that kind of area. Like, it feels like something's trying to attack your ability to create. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, maybe you should just like, she's like you're a Christian. And I'm like, I am. That is correct. Maybe you should like just declare like truth over yourself. Like maybe like some affirmations, like some scripture affirmations. Let's make some right now. Right? And so she leads me to this app, right? It's a great app. It's called Think Up, right? Where you record it and it says it back to you in your voice, right? And she's like, okay, so this is what's happening. So what do we know is true in this situation, right? And I'm like, that God created me and that my body lines up with what he says. She's like, oh, that's good, right? So she's taking them down and everything. And so I record them. At this point, it's February, and it's been 3 months of pain and no answers. I record, I think it was a Tuesday. I record them that day. By Friday, there's no pain. There's none. There's none. And I keep the appointment with the surgeon because I'm going to keep the appointment because, you know, God didn't tell me not to have the appointment. So we're going to keep having the appointment, right? Which is like 4 weeks away. And so over the next 4 weeks, I have a couple days that are twos or threes. But mostly, we're at a zero. And we're there at the exact moment that I choose to agree with what God says and not with the physical evidence of my body. And I, if you had asked me, I wouldn't have thought I was agreeing with the enemy. Because that we frequently don't think we are. We don't think we are. And it took someone who wasn't even a Christian going, this sounds like you need to declare some truth, to smack me outside the head and realize how far out of alignment I really was. And as soon as I, and this feels like a dumb thing. It's this affirmations app. Okay. You like, you say whatever you want to say in it. You say them, you put in your sentences, whatever you want to write. You say each one. It records them as little snippets. And then like you say, I want to listen to these for 5 minutes. I want to listen to these for 10 minutes. And it plays it back in your own voice. So you hear your own voice saying these things. And it's got like music in the background. So it's like, And then I'm like, I am wonderfully created by God. Foolish things of the world. Weak things of the world. I've re-recorded most of them now, but once I started feeling better and I went back to them, I could hear how bad I sounded. You know what I mean? Like, you know, have you ever listened to a message you've left yourself and you were tired or you were weak or you were exhausted and then you're like, man, I sounded rough. I sounded rough. I remember when I had Nikiah, I hemorrhaged, right? And so I lost a lot of blood. And I didn't know how bad I was. And my mom kept coming in and the nurses kept coming in and they kept looking at me and they were going, how are you feeling? You know that voice. How are you feeling? And I'm like, I feel okay. And they're like, really? Really? And I'm like, yeah, I feel okay. And so finally they tell me they have to give me a blood transfusion, right? And so then they give me the first blood transfusion and my body's like, oh, we were bad. Like, I didn't realize how bad we were off until they gave me a little bit of my blood, a little bit of blood. And then my body was like, yeah, that wasn't enough. Okay. And so then I came back to myself and I was like, man, mom, I think I was really, like, I think I was almost gone. And Mom was like, Valerie, you were so pale. You were so pale, you know? And so it was like one of those. I listened to myself saying these verses, and they were so weak. And they were so on the point of exhaustion, and they were so pain-filled, and it didn't matter. God uses the foolish things. God uses the weak things. That's it. We're done. It's over. Okay, so, so I'm just going to challenge you this week. I'm going to challenge you this week to really listen and pay attention when God tells you to do something. We're so willing to do that in the big things, and frequently we let slip and slide the little things. So God tells you to wave your hands and to sing. God tells you to say a verse. God tells you to anoint your pillow, to play the worship music, to shout, even in your house. Next week, he tells you, get a little big with it. Listen. Listen. And see where he's leading you in victory. And pay attention to the areas where suddenly interference seems to be cropping up. I just really feel that strongly as a warning for you guys. Pay attention to where you're making commitments, and where suddenly there's interference obstructing them. And don't think it's a coincidence. Ask the Lord what the strategy for victory is. And then do it. So Lord, I thank you. I thank you that we win when there's a tussle. I thank you that you are stronger than the enemy. That you are bigger than him. That when we agree with you, he cannot touch us. And so we say we agree with you. We partner with you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.